Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians defend music that other people give them a little guff about. I am, of course, Tom Tikar, the Wolf of Dog Street, or the Dog of Wolf Street. I still can't quite remember. And I am joined by Tommy McNamara.
I think we should have new nicknames for the new year. Will this be our last episode of the current year?
That's a good question. I'm not quite sure yet.
No one knows, yeah.
No one can be sure. And also, this is a pretty new nickname, I think. The Wolf of Dog Street is, I think, the right one. You will maintain the Prince of Snarkness until the new year, when who knows what you will become.
Wow.
Probably something dark and ominous. let's see. We'll think of one. Yep. We are of course joined by our guest, Guy Montgomery.
Hey, it's good to be here, fellas. How are you?
We're here to discuss the Feelers.
Guy, you could have just slept over the last two nights because we recorded so recently.
That's right. But, you know, we thought we left a lot of good stuff out there. We're back once again.
A lot of people were clamoring. They said, we didn't get enough of the Feelers.
Well, there was so much we left uncovered. So let's start. What do you think we missed?
Oh, with the Feelers?
Yep.
Yeah, the Feelers.
Oh, look, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, there's so many words in the English language. And I feel like we would have used less than, what, 5% of them?
Too many words.
So I feel like
we didn't use the word ubiquitous on the last episode.
Not even once.
Are they in New Zealand ubiquitous?
They were certainly at a period quite a ubiquitous group. And so I'm looking to all of us, each and every one, you know, to tap into that, the other 95% of words and sort of sentence structures available. Let's fucking roll our sleeves up and have some fun,
all
fellas.
Right.
Let's have some fun, boys.
My mom's feedback on the episode was one sentence. Guy should have defended Flight of the Conchords.
What? There's nothing to defend.
Of course, I agree.
The jury is in. And is that what you say?
No, the jury is out. Which I think it should be the jury is in.
Yeah,
you're right.
The jury's out. Well, when are they going to come back in here and tell us what the heck's going
on?
Why are we talking about the jury's lunch break?
Yeah. Sometimes juries are sequestered. That's a word we didn't use last time.
Yeah, what does sequestered mean?
That's when they go, they have to like stay at a hotel so they can't get anything from the outside world about the case.
Ah, so it's like, what is it when you're sick? What are you going to when you come back from
quarantine?
Quarantine. It's like quarantine for a jury.
It is.
Quizala. Yes. No, quarantine. That's right.
Both quarantine and sequestered are like nice 50 cent words.
Oh, yeah.
They both got Q's in them.
And not a lot of words with Q in them.
Wow, not as many as other letters.
I didn't think we'd run out this early.
We're running out.
Throughout this episode, we're going to discover all the many words that begin with Q. I'm going to begin with quail.
And well, here's a word. Let's Q up a song.
Ah. All right.
Which song?
Why
wait? Shall we begin with?
I think we're going to go. Well, we're going through the exact same playlist because we didn't talk enough about it. We've decided.
Yes.
And also, this time I'm sober. So I'm hearing these songs for the first time.
Oh, what? You mean to tell me you were drunk last time?
You mean after that Bears
after
win?
One of my favorite sports moments of the last 5 years. My favorite, of course, being the Cubs World Series.
Of course.
Maybe
okay.
My second favorite of the past 3 or 4
years.
I was
supposed to be pissed. All right. Well, let's listen to, I believe we started with Pressure Man last time. I'm not totally sure, but let's start with that.
We don't have to go in the same order, yeah.
Remember this, Tommy? Remember hating this?
Maybe I like it now. Am I supposed to be playing?
Oh, you just know something great to that.
You gotta hear it. It's playing.
Are you? of it. It's quite important that we go back.
I think you're right. I think we need a third revisit.
It's just such
a... Tommy, I hate this intro. Thank
you. Okay, this is what we were looking for.
It's quite an iconic introduction. When they recorded it, a lot of people in the studio said, well, how are you going to recreate, you know, this audio, this soundscape live on stage?
I think that's a misuse of the word iconic.
No.
I think you meant to say quintessential, another Q word. Thank you.
Well, it doesn't quite work in this context.
Yes, it does. Turn the music up.
I don't think you did say Rage Against the Machine last
time. Well, I started rapping last time.
Hold on. What did you... It reminds you of Prodigy? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I can hear that. And who can forget these lyrics? Take the hammer, smash the glass.
Didn't you just take the glass? You talking about the glass again?
This guy's cutting up the ground with shards of glass. Are you pressure man or prey? Do you suffer through the gravity?
Are you predator or prey? Will you suffer man? That's enough for Tommy. Here in the States, we had the Killers pose the question, are you human or are you dancer?
Yes. Mm.
And that's now the true. Feelers ask, are you pressure man or prey? Tom, how would you respond to both of those? Pick whichever you want first.
Well, am I human? Obviously.
So not dancer.
No. Dancers are some sick freaks.
Well, that question gets more interesting around Christmas time.
That's right.
Because that's a reindeer question,
yes, it
of
is.
Course. And I think of myself more as a vixen,
mm-hmm.
you know?
You're very sexy.
I think I'm a sexual reindeer. Probably, obviously, the one Santa snuck out back. He said, milk and cookies, give me my vixen and nookie.
Oh, my God. Like he said, the one Santa snuck out back. Like, well, it's common knowledge they took one of them. The question is, which one?
It's true as well. No, when you think about, with the new context of, and it's quite an iconic carol, isn't it? The one where Santa takes vixen out back. I hope I'm using that word correctly. But, it begs the question, what's the guy's name? Brandon Flowers? Is that the lead singer of the Kings?
That is. Famous
yes.
Mormon.
Yeah. It makes him sound horny for reindeer, doesn't it? like he's stumbling around at home. He's got someone with him or something. He's going, before we do this.
Hold on. Show me your ID. Are you human?
What are you stumbling around with? Those hooves?
Are you human or are you a dancer? Because either way, you're getting fucked.
Well, then the reindeer asks him the question, are you pressure man or prey? Am I going to eat you?
I think I'm a pressure man, I think.
What does pressure man right? mean?
Well, so if we work backwards from the alternative being prey,
yes.
I suppose it would make you some sort of a hunter or a predator.
Now, are you yes. hunter or are you predator or prey? Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Are you pressure?
Well, yeah, they originally released the song under the title Predator.
and also, that is an Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
Yes.
Pressure Man.
I'm fascinated by him lyrically. I really love...
Well, that will count you and you alone.
Only it takes a adept songwriter to follow the line, smash the glass, with the line, take the glass. Now, not a lot of people would go back to that well.
Wow, and not a lot of people, you know, would think to smash some glass and then pick up the tiny... Like, it's a very respectful form of vandalism.
I agree.
Smash the glass! Oh, no, there are kids around. Take the glass! There's a lot of good stuff left on the writing floor.
I think that's, like, what we're going to see out of the movements now, where it's like, break the patriarchy. Piece together back the patriarchy.
Reassemble elements of the patriarchy.
I was reading an interview with him, and just to talk about him lyrically, so this is how it ends. I'm gonna read like the last bit of it, and we can go for that. So Reed pauses when asked what he plans to do, if he still enjoys his work. I've never worked a day in my life, he says. The silence becomes almost awkward, beckoning one of us to speak. Then the interview takes a short break as he stands to pull out his phone. All his lyrics are sitting in the notes app. Now here's the one lyric. My life's like a hurricane. It leads to disaster everywhere I go. There's more, too, but the musician only gives us a taster. And then he says, the plan is to go and write a song for that. I'll go do that now, maybe. And that is the end of the interview.
Sounds like he's got to go to work.
I hate that. It sort of represents New Zealand as this fucking devil may care, like, piss take of a country where one of our, you know, preeminent songwriters of a decade is like, yeah, I still got it. I'm still working on
stuff.
He
has one line, no rhyme, no real. Just a,
in the middle of an interview. He's like, he takes out a drafted tweet and goes, well, I might go
That's
finish that tweet
truly
right now.
Like, oh, you want a little teaser? My name is Tom and I'm here to say, that's it.
I'm going
to
go finish that.
Yeah, more. Oh, you love that, you sick fucks?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's more.
My life is like a hurricane. It leaves disaster everywhere I go. I woke up from a dream to write that down.
I love the idea of somebody be like, I never worked a day in my life, but then it turns out they actually haven't worked a day in their life.
Yeah, it's not in like the romantic way. Yeah.
I'm living my dream. I've never worked a day in my life. Yeah, I don't work.
Every sentence in this interview is like directly contradicted by the one after it. But there's one where he's like, so like, what do you do when you're not busy? And he says, I like fishing. And then he says, but Reed says he doesn't get fishing as much as he would like. It's like, all right, like, who cares?
I've never fished a day in my life. Let's hear another song. Let's listen to Venus. Let's listen to a later part of Venus, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I think this is the one I like.
I like this too.
You should like all of them.
Yeah, well, I do like all of them.
You rated it a 6, I remember that. It's
an all of us. Don't forget for bonus points, please feel free to imagine James Tree is singing the word Venus.
Still funny with penis.
Yeah, to think of it now, part of the reason that they might have been as ubiquitous as they were at the height of their powers is because of high school students such as myself and my, you know, ghoulish friends running around saying, come my little penis.
That inflated the numbers a bit.
Oh, man. Some quotes for the from the song. Let's see. At first, I thought this may have been a love song, kind of along the lines of unrequited love, searching for the answers and right paths to take, etc. After looking and listening to it, I've decided it could be anything. And oh wait, yeah, we read this last time.
Oh my god,
did we?
We did, because it. Next says, only the writer will know, LOL.
That's a YouTube comment, sorry.
Father or husband singing to his daughter or wife. Actually, now that I think about it, maybe a sister who is struggling with who she is and going out of their mind trying to find themselves and inner peace and completely not understanding what's happening to them. Maybe they are suffering from depression. Anyway, that's my thoughts on this song. That's from Kiwi Music.
Kiwi Music, very respectable blog, very respectable contributor on YouTube. I'd just like to say it's a credit to the power of the previous quote from the interview that you read, Tommy, that sort of meant that in my mind, as I heard a YouTube comment I've heard not 2 days ago, I was like, oh, this sounds like James Reed talking about his creative process some more. It was like reverse engineering meaning for it.
Yeah, maybe it could be about my sister. I'm going to go find out.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Tasman Film says, this is my parents' wedding song.
Oh, my God.
Hey, yikes.
That's pretty.
Do you know, that makes sense to me in New Zealand, but that would be such a grim wedding. Like, you'd know if you're at that wedding with some of your mates and you're watching them walk down to the aisle of Venus by the Feelers, you're nudging each other. Going, oh, can you imagine? You're saying pretty snarky stuff like that. If I stood next to you, Tommy, I'd probably say, hey, your prince, can you imagine?
Are there any weird New Zealand wedding things, Guy?
Oh, sorry. Somebody else wrote, I can still only hear come my little penis.
And that's from G. Montgo.
Yeah, my sworn nemesis with so many of the same takes as me and such a similar name. I'll find you, G. Montgo, and I will sink you.
Like a hurricane, I will disaster you.
Gene Mungo has a show at Little Field this very Thursday.
I just like to say that no, I mean, there's no specifically interesting or curious New Zealand wedding traditions. Mm-hmm. One of the things I do like about New Zealand that isn't celebrated here so much is we've got a much more in this. I guess we're in a big grimy city. But you don't have to wish.
Whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Grimy?
Yeah, I think New York City, I want to say it, I think it's a bit grimy. It's a bit dirty. All right, leave it to the council every day. I say, you seen the rubbish sticking up on these streets?
You're about to get cancelled there, guy.
Oh, no. By who?
By the city of Mayor Giuliani.
Wrong mayor.
Giuliani.
but we don't wear shoes so much in New Zealand.
And a lot of barefoot time.
Yeah, so you get a lot of weddings where people aren't wearing shoes because they're like, you want to see how relaxed we are about this?
Really?
We aren't wearing shoes.
And you're on the grass, so you're feeling your...
Yeah, you're on the grass. You might be on the beach. If you're feeling, you walk down to the corner, we call them a dairy, but you go down to the bodega if it's a couple hundred meters, you don't need to put shoes on, you just nip down the street.
Wearing shoes.
What about all that glass the Feelers are leaving out on the street?
Well, they pick it all up.
That's a good point, yeah.
I went to this bodega by us, I saw a person not wearing a top. It was a lady. I swear to God, just a bare-chested lady, so... Tell a story like that.
And she sang that song One Week, right?
That's right.
Bare naked
bare chased yep. lady. Yeah, yeah.
I was at not really related in any way, but I got a haircut today. No one noticed. And
do you know? I thought I didn't say anything, but I did think your hair was particularly nice when I came.
You look wonderful,
G-Mongo.
Tommy. You look beautiful.
Do not fucking call me G-Mongo.
This is arch enemy, Tommy. Yeah. Jesus.
Okay, so we call it a haircuttery, and so listen, the two people that get their haircuts before me. The barber goes, you want a shot of whiskey? And they each take it, and I'm so excited. My haircut's wrapping up. You know, I pay for it. I tip him, and I'm just kind of standing near the bottle of whiskey, and he goes, happy holidays, man. I was like, yep.
Damn.
Nothing.
That's so grim.
You gotta have a different vibe.
Yeah. I guess the problem with you is you got a really shit vibe.
Oh, thanks, guys. Wow.
Just like your personality.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I have that at the same. I also go to a haircuttery where they have booze and they have very fancy beer there that if you went to a bar, it would be like $6 a bottle or whatever. But they just have it in their fridge. And I've been going there for 2 years now, only because of that. I am a terrible alcoholic, and
sounds like you're a pretty good alcoholic.
Yeah, I know where the best deals are. I went there, and the first two times I went, they were like, "Hey, if you want a beer, let me know." And I was like, "Sure." And then after that, they stopped letting me have it, and I was like, devastated. And then I was like, oh, they just have them in a fridge there. You just go take it. So now I just take it. But then I was like, I don't know that I want a beer while I'm getting my hair cut. I don't know.
It is a weird thing that I only heard about here. I didn't even know that was a thing.
It's only in New York. The first haircut place I went to here, they have to this day a big tub of PBRs you can have. And but they're also kind of rude to you. So I was like, I don't really want to be there.
I like it when what are they called? Vendors,
yeah,
or business people. They're confident enough in the product to be like, you know what? this is good enough for me to treat you like shit.
Oh, yeah.
I like going to a restaurant and they're like, yeah, fuck you. It's $16 for an egg and I hate you. And I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a dang good egg. And the thing is, the harder they push against me, the more I want them to like me. I dig my heels in it.
The thing is, in New York, most of those places are bad. They're not even good. Then they're still like, fuck you. And I'm sure we're so like we have such low self-esteem that we're like, yeah, this is good. This is how it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
All those other places, they were faking it, you know? Like every other restaurant is like a lady trying to make you happy, you know? They're just like being pretend nice, but
yeah, it makes you so cynical. You're like, when someone is nice or gives you good service, you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? What's your angle?
Yeah, you're trying to trick me. Whereas these people who are mean to me while I'm paying more money than if I lived in Indiana still where they're nice.
The guy I work with in my day job, he always tells me, he's like, you gotta stop saying best wishes in your emails. I'm like, why? He goes, oh, it's too soft, too nice. I'm like, I don't know if there's any reason to not be nice. Like, we work in like a building office.
You're
it's fine.
Too soft.
That's
at work.
Yeah. This is New Jersey guy.
Hey, when you're talking to these Make-A-Wish children, you're being too soft. They read it on you. You gotta say, "Hey, go fuck yourself." They listen to Bill Burr all day.
Here's $1 million. Go fuck yourself.
Is that what they're doing with these Make-A-Wish children?
Jesus. Yeah, a lot of kids, they figured it out. They're game the system. They just wish for $1 million now.
They immediately get into the stock exchange.
I don't know if I told this story when it happened last year, but I've been thinking about it a lot this week. So sometimes people just give you like a bottle of wine for the holidays at an office job. And there was a time, a little job I was at last year, I was at an accountant's office. And he got this bottle of wine as a Christmas gift. And he calls me into his office. I was working the reception desk as a temp. He calls me and he goes, "Tom, I'm going to look this bottle of wine up. If it's under $60 value, you can take it home. Over $60, I'm going to keep it." Looks it up. $70 bottle of wine. He goes, "Oh, sorry, man." I was like, I didn't have to be here for this process.
Why would he tell you what he's
doing? He was just a dick. Yeah.
That's great.
Under 60, like, if you're getting a $59 bottle of wine, that's a pretty nice bottle of wine.
Been nice.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
And honestly, not that much worse than a $70 bottle of wine, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Which to me, it's like, I only drink bottles of wine that are 90 up, but this, the rest of it's kind of pissed.
This guy sounds like a regular sommelier. You know when they come over and they say, "Now this bottle of wine is $120. And you go, "Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Open her up."
That's what they do at my new salon I go to. They bring you a $120 bottle of wine.
But it's a fine haircut. We're glad you got it there, Tommy. Let's hear another song. Oh shit! It's still playing Pressure Man, just quietly.
Well, listen to it again.
This is Communicate. Yeah, let's listen to it again. That's next week, guys. You've cursed yourself, you bitch. We tricked you into two of these shows.
Listen to both, or is a rock and music?
I do like this one.
This is this
is the song that reminded you of your.
No, that was Fishing for Lisa.
That was Fishing for Lisa, yes.
Nice. The more you hear it, the more you like it. Big bros. People are saying, "Who's in the room?" Says, "Still sounding real good." Shades of a Vedder. Damn.
I totally disagree. I don't think
it
sounds like any
Vedder in this
at all.
Yeah. What do you think? Are you an Eddie Vedder man, guy?
I know Eddie Vedder enough to know that this does not sound an awful lot like.
Not anything like it.
Yeah, I don't hear Vedder in this.
Shades of, though.
That's fine.
You know. So soft focus. If you sort of can only just hear it through the wall. And what are you listening to?
I mean, when compared to like DMX,
is that music?
This is close to any better.
Or better?
Yeah, yeah.
So here's a lyric.
On a sliding scale of DMX to Eddie Vedder, you got to say this thing skews better.
Okay, so he says it's a goldfish situation. Is that a New Zealand phrase?
No, but that's in context with what I said before. He said another standing ovation, another dodgy location. It's a goldfish situation. So this guy's touring so frequently.
Oh, okay.
He's necking beers. He's drinking bottles of wine.
Hell yeah.
He's sort of, you know, he's caught. Like, I was actually thinking, as he sang those lyrics, this is borderline the most coherent run of sentences this guy's put together so far tonight.
Oh, because everyone's looking at him like he's in a fishbowl. Is that the whole thing?
Yeah, and I think also goldfishes famously have poor memories. So he's like, you know, he's. It's just like a repeat experience so often that he's like, he can barely...
Like,
you know,
Tom when he read that comment twice?
Exactly.
Look, that comment was so long that when I had a feeling that I had heard it before and read it before, but it was so long. You go ahead and pause that.
I was hoping goldfish situation was an idiom that we could learn about. But
we should start a band called Goldfish Situation.
Pretty good.
That is pretty good. Do you guys sometimes think of band names?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I think Hot Cousin is the best one I've come up with so far.
The Arrested Development tribute band.
Yes. Yeah. That would work out. What the fuck just... Oh, the rat! Oh, my God! It's on the... It was next to the coffee maker.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Sorry. Oh, my God. I thought it was
I heard this.
What a podcasting moment.
I'm so scared.
That was horrifying. I hope it didn't touch my pizza. You know how rats love pizza.
This is why New York is not a grimy city. The rats do not touch the pizza.
The rat my God. I saw the rat on the counter.
I do love how you said it's the rat, not a rat. It's the rat.
No, it's the rat.
In a lot of ways, calling it the rat makes you guys seem cleaner than you otherwise might be. If it was a rat, that leaves open the possibility that you have multiple rats. But
this
the rat
makes it seem like it could be one of our roommates.
It is a rat situation we have going on.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That was wild.
How big was it?
It was very big.
The
to
size
be
of your
totally
forearm?
Honest. I thought it was like a small dog.
Did you actually see it?
I did see
it. Because the way we're sitting, only you could have.
Scatter form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you just hate going to bed knowing that there's a rat in your house?
Fuck. God damn it. Now I'm going to throw up. That's
What is the what's the rat situation in New Zealand like?
It doesn't hold a candle to what you got going on
but
over
here. But are they running rampant?
Not running rampant. No, certainly not like...
They aren't interrupting podcasts over there?
No, not so much. I mean, I'm sure we've got a few, but it's not like a citywide infestation.
Well, that's probably why you walk around barefoot so often.
You know what? I didn't draw a direct line between those two things, but I suppose it is. Tom has now taken his pizza from the danger zone and put it in the relative safety of the couch.
Now, some people... Some people would maybe look and see if we have any extra traps, but instead we're just saving the pizza.
Look, I don't have time for that. We're recording a podcast.
Like, you remember that show Heroes? It was Save the Pizza, Save the Rat. That was the famous slogan.
This is, of course, another iconic episode of the podcast. I hope I'm using that word correctly.
Look, this is a quaint episode of the podcast. No rat appearances. We're going to edit out the rat.
No, we can't. It was the only interesting thing that's happened so far.
Oh,
how
apart from
dare
all,
you.
Apart from all the laughs the boys have had.
We invite Guy to walk 12 minutes from his apartment to our apartment, and you're going
to
say that?
To his ivory rat-free tower.
Yeah. We've got a mouse in our place.
Now that, it must be nice.
I'd kill for a mouse.
You're like a cat.
What I wouldn't pay to only have a mouse in my apartment. Yeah, that seemed like it was for sure a rat. Mm. Or once again, I think that might have been a kangaroo. It was very big.
It's
Did you bring a kangaroo?
Yeah, it's time to come clean. I bought a full-sized kangaroo into your apartment.
Let's. So we've heard communicate.
Yeah. It's funny to go back into it now.
Oh my God, we have another voicemail.
Oh, nice.
So against his better judgment, and I should say, when I told him we were going to do another episode of this, and I requested another voicemail from him, he said, hard pass. Against his better judgment, Jared Thompson did give us another voicemail.
This is going to be only critiquing what we're
this
doing.
This can't be good. I think we're going to be upset by what we hear right now. But nonetheless, let's
What if go. He heard a rat during the voicemail recording?
Let's go to Jared.
What's up, guys? This week we went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending the feelers. So my first question is the reason that no one reacted, which is fine, I'm not a comedian, but I thought it would at least be kind of funny when I said that New Zealand and Australia were the same thing. But I think maybe when I looked it up, and they are two different places, but what's weird is that I think maybe I might have done a, like, these lights are bright, like something that a open mic level comedian would do, and thinking that it was an original. All right. So,
yeah.
Hasn't gotten any better. I listened to a couple, like, deep tracks. And, I mean, I listened to the episode earlier today, and the thing is that, you know, you guys are, like, giving them a little bit too much credit. Like, Tommy, of course, again, like I said on the last time, he has a soft spot for these, like, shitty, like, you know, bands that were made in the lab that recorded songs for, like, you know, soundtracks of TV shows in the early 2000s or whatever. But that's exactly what they sound like. There's really no reason to really talk about this band anymore. Maybe there's, like, an interesting story that you somehow didn't get to on the first podcast. But the guest, I have to tell you, he is funny, very engaging, and I enjoyed listening to him talk, but I'd rather just listen to this dude talk about something else, because the stand is boring as fuck. All right, thanks.
Well, too bad, Jared. we're gonna keep him in the confines of talking about the feelers.
As we've done all episodes so far.
What do you think... I feel like I'm not equipped to talk about the I would say I've heard the New Zealand Australia thing before. Do you think you, I mean you're from there?
Yeah,
I'm
I sure think his self diagnosis was pretty accurate.
Yeah,
it's not. Yeah, it's,
I think that's why we didn't really go into it.
It's just it's almost a non event at this point. It's like because you're so commonly mistaken for being an Australian here, or even
yes.
Once people have met you and know you're from New Zealand,
yes.
It's easier to remember you as Australian. Which that one to me is a little bit more like, hey, you do a little bit of work, mm-hmm. You know. But
we were at a thing earlier tonight where people did crowd work on you, and
yeah,
they
I
were
volunteered
baffled by your accent.
Yeah, I volunteered that information. I usually wouldn't do that, but it felt like they were sort of
they
were battling, and I was like, "Oh, this
you're a good man."
Yeah,
that you gave up that information. Nothing worse than when comedians do crowd work on you.
Yeah,
am I wrong? Like that's truly the worst. Thing
I get so nervous at shows when I'm addressed.
Yes, I hate it. I've come up with I just lie,
yeah.
About my life. I create a different life when people try to do crowd
you're treating
work.
It like an improv exercise.
Yes. I say that I'm a programmer or like I work in IT or something.
Yeah.
I just don't want it to be a thing. Like, I hate it.
I was at a show like a month ago maybe, and the host did not know me, and he started doing crowd work with me, and I was being purposely like, move out, you know, kind of thing. And he goes, hey, who's up next? He calls the producer, and he says, Tommy McNamara. And
oh,
then he had to
no.
bring me up, and I had to be like, yep, that is why I didn't want to talk to you. oh, and I want to say, I thought that they just covered it in that Flight of the Conchords episode. The Aziz Ansari one. I don't know if I brought that up last week. They did the whole New Zealand Australian thing the whole
well,
time.
Well, you do love bringing Aziz up as someone that you agree with
like,
how they date and stuff.
I wanted to talk about a thing I read about Aziz today because Jason Zinnemann wrote this great article about Aziz's new hour and how the fact that he doesn't bring up all he talks about is how people are too woke, but he doesn't bring up how it affected him at all, which is kind of the same thing as the Lulu thing.
But the
funniest part of it is that he does like this bit about how he hates like the problem with Apu, and he was one of the talking heads in the problem with Apu. And he's just pretending like that didn't happen.
His new hours, like, because that's, yeah, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? He stood on the shoulders of being like, hey, everyone, let's do better. And then as soon as someone told him to do better, he was like, you know what the problem is?
Yeah. These people telling you to be better, they're wrong. Yeah. You built a lot of your career on that, buddy.
I did a month long tour through India recently, and there was a chicken place in Mumbai called Aziz Chicken. And the joke I'd do with my friend
was the chicken cooked too long and it bumped the other.
But my friend Aaron Chen and I would do a joke. We go, oh no, I got me too, and I'm gonna run a chicken shop in Mumbai.
That's so funny. That's incredible. Man, that is so good.
But shout out to Aziz. If you're looking for any openers on those big stadium tours you're doing, hit your boy Guy Montgomery.
Hey, Tommy Takkar and Tommy Magner are also available.
Let's not speak for all of us.
Oh, the Tom Takkar still available.
Yeah, and get in touch with Tommy McNamara.
Put out some rat trackers. They seem to follow me wherever I go. If you see a rat, I can't be too far away.
Fuck. There was something else about him that I was remembering, but I've lost it now. And nonetheless, we should get back to the feelers. The important issue. Yeah, and
you always keep railroading me. I got all these great anecdotes lined up to share. All this great information. I don't think I said this last week. I used to host it, or maybe I did. Stop me if I did.
When you had the guy do the character.
I messaged my friend Joseph, who came on in character as James Reed. And I was like, what? Because I knew that he got confronted afterwards.
Trying to figure out why,
And so he said what happened was, hold on, I'm going to get my phone.
Please read it.
Go get your phone.
I'm looking at a list of famous people from New Zealand.
We have got
so far. I can't scroll past where it says New Zealand. Keith Urban.
Is it no?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Right.
Keith Urban.
So yeah, that's why funny because I always did think he was Australian.
The country singer.
Yeah.
That's probably part of the confusion about Australia and New Zealand is like so many celebrities and famous things. We split credit for because
like
we're so
Russell
starved
Crowe.
For famous exports.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone claims each other's stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Russell Crowe is a big one. Crowded House, who are very New Zealand. And also
Hey Now, Don't Dream It's Over, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a great song.
Anyway, so it's actually not a very gripping story, but another friend of ours, Tom Furness. So my friend Joseph Moore came on.
You know, it was a
gripping
James
story. Reed.
That Aziz article.
Yeah, that was a
gripping that late.
Oh, it's fun to play with words. he was out with another friend called Tom Furness, and New Zealand is a very small place, so they came over James Reed from the Feelers, and Tom went up to James Reed from the Feelers and said, oh, this guy here does an impression of you. He went on TV and did an impression of you, and James Reed was quite drunk, and he was upset, and this is a video recording.
Plug it in.
It's very short. But
go for it.
Plug it in. Remember that commercial?
I do. That? I do.
Here we go. This is verbatim what James Reed said.
Taking the piss, are you?
Wait, was that really him?
No. So you'd think, because the impression was so good.
A real goldfish situation,
it's,
huh?
I haven't brought this up, but he does. James Reed has had his battles with booze before, and so some of the layoffs he has between creating songs or making meaningful songs, I think, could be attributed to the disease known as alcoholism. So I'm just going to plug this back into your phone.
Oh, thank you,
making
brother.
A bit of Bit of hubbub.
Oh, you know, YouTuber Dolan Dark is from New Zealand.
Yeah, of course. Oh. He's on the news every night in New Zealand.
Were the Lord of the Rings films not filmed in New Zealand?
Yes, Peter Jackson.
They were filmed in Middle Earth. Am I right? Okay. Sure.
You know what's funny? Jermaine Clement is listed here, and Brett is like four down, which seems like a subtle
bit.
Yeah, yeah. Peter Thiel, New Zealand.
He bought property in New Zealand. He's not from New Zealand.
This list might be... This is from thefamouspeople.com, which might not be...
There's a lot of Silicon Valley billionaires who their apocalypse plan is they're buying up a lot of property in New Zealand.
Oh,
and
really?
They're building bunkers. Yeah. But it seems insane to me, you know, in anticipation of whatever may go wrong with the world. New Zealand is an island nation, you know, very much at the mercy of rising tides and global warming. A lot of these billionaires are buying waterfront property or land to be like, well, when it all goes down, we're going to be okay. New Zealand's going to go down pretty near first.
Yeah.
You know, buying the mountains.
The Vanity Fair article about this exact thing is called, Does Peter Thiel Know Something We Don't?
Ah, well, I think he knows a lot of things we don't, as everyone knows a lot of things that we don't. I mean,
well,
if you think
about
the information everyone carries around, I'd say about 80% of the stuff people know, absolutely unknowable to the rest of us.
I hate to be combative here, but I disagree. Name one piece of information. I know it.
Okay.
Where's the rat?
Oh, right there. Ah! One for one.
Yeah, it's true. Well, on that body of evidence, I will challenge you no further.
There you have it, people. I know
the
it all.
The all-knowing, yeah. Yeah.
Let's
some may say
song.
Omniscient. 50-cent word.
That is a 50-cent word.
Ooh, but not a Q word,
Quamniscient.
Let's listen to it. The important thing is that we to remember that we did just listen to these. Last week.
But now we have nostalgia for 2 days ago.
That makes me like these songs more.
Savage and hard. Tim just went through the pizza box. He's more of a danger than the rat.
Is Tim not? Wait a second. We've never seen Tim and the rat in the same room.
Oh, my God. He just ran. He scurried away.
He's scampering.
He couldn't even close the door.
Of course he can. Look at his tiny little
scurry,
hands.
Right?
No more heartache or pain, because this is real.
Like Peter Thiel.
Is my spiel. This is as good as it gets. Yeah. This is as good as it gets.
You ever think about this? I've only thought about it with bands. I've thought about it with movies by virtue of the worst idea of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like when you're on the set of, say, a Grown Ups 2 or some such movie, where it's like there's so little effort and care being paid. I think everyone on set knows that it's a stinker. Like when you think about a band sitting in a room creating a maligned album or song, you think that maybe the bass player sitting there like, I've really got to get out of it with this guys because we're making some bad stuff.
Well, especially a band like this where it seems like it's really one person's creative vision,
yeah,
and that person is really drunk. You know?
I am certain that the other people were like, fuck, man.
But I bet on Grown Ups 2 it wasn't like that because it seems like
they're all
having
friends.
They were having
a lot of fun.
That's the opposite problem where it's people empowering each other to be like, no, this is actually hilarious.
Everything's a good idea. Yeah. And they were chocolate wasted.
Well, maybe in Grown Ups 1. But in Grown Ups 2, that'll clean their act up.
This is something you know more than 99% of the population about.
I like to think.
I'd say you know.
How pissed would you be if someone else knew more about that movie than you?
There's one person in the world who that might be.
Jesus Christ.
G. Montgomery.
who's read the screenplay every day for his podcast.
Yeah, this one's much more time intensive. No, to be honest, I reckon I could go line for line with Sandler and wipe the floor with the guy.
God, I would love to watch that.
That needs to happen. Dude, that could be a Vice article tomorrow, my man.
It's always been my dream to be featured in Vice, the preeminent voice of popular culture.
That's why Vice. That's why I'm trying to be Dick Cheney. A movie called Vice coming out.
There is a comment from Senior Grizzy. Senior Gizzy, I'm sorry. I think this one is about the birth of a kid. I don't know. But maybe also at the start of the song, looking at some of the troubles of a baby that wasn't completely planned for. And then the end of the song is baby born and he's never felt better.
Wow.
So, gotta consider that.
And Senior Gizzy, I don't know if you know this, but the Mexican release of Gremlins featured a little character named
Senior Gizzy. Gizzy is actually the president of Mexico, so watch your mouth, sir.
Gente Fox.
Gizzy is a colloquialism for a coastal town on the east coast of the North Island called Gisborne. So this guy could be, Mr. Gisborne. Presumably some muscle-bound gent walking around in a Speedo.
I would love to be a muscle-bound gent in a Speedo.
That should be our goal.
I think that would solve all my problems.
I say, all right, me and Tommy, I challenge you to this, Tommy, for us to be muscle-bound Speedo-wearing gents by this time next year.
That's a lot of time.
We have plenty of time.
Buying a Speedo, that takes, what, 5 minutes?
I'll be the witness to this. Is this an agreement or a bet?
No. This is a dare.
Truth.
All right. The truth is, we're going to be muscle-bound gents.
Also, Vicente Fox was the president of Mexico until 2006, and that was my last reference that I said confidently.
All right. Let's hear Fishing for Lisa.
Well, now this is going to be not just nostalgic for last week, but knowing that we're nearing the end of this record, this is going to have me nostalgic for the last half hour, 40 minutes.
Now, where you're wrong is this is going to be an extended edition.
Of Stand By Your Band or Fishing for Lisa? Possibly both.
Contractually, we have you for the next 6 hours. I hate that I like this.
There's nothing wrong with liking this. Give nothing, get the same return. I said it would be this side. Well, if you want to win, you're going to learn. I thought you're my reason to live. I thought you're my reason to live.
I found a new song fact.
Oh.
This is written by Chicken.
Aziz Chicken?
It says...
That was fine.
Old for edit. This says, Bok Bok. No, this says...
This is that gets a big pop.
This says, this is a song about when the writer met someone on a cruise overseas... And they decided to meet at a bar when they got offshore. Overwhelmed by his connection with the girl, he forgot the name of the bar, and he ended up going around every bar looking for her, and he never saw her again.
Really?
Yeah.
I just realized something.
What's that?
The interview, he says he doesn't go fishing as often as he wants. Maybe he's talking about fishing.
Oh my gosh, he holds an ever-burning candle for this woman, Lisa.
It's a torch.
It also sounds to me like James Reed might be creating a lot of anonymous YouTube accounts and trying to create open speculation that he's a more meaningful and perceptive songwriter than he might actually be. Yeah. In all of these sort of open-ended quizzes, I mean, it could be this. Well, I don't know.
Hey, Reed, how about you just get on Craigslist and put out a missed connection? You don't got to write a damn song.
Well, you know, different people, different approaches. He's the Kevin Durant of the New Zealand music scene. He's got so many burner that? Accounts sticking up for himself.
And, you know, the Thunder are pretty pissed off at him.
Yeah, that's right.
Those are the two things they have in common.
I have exactly the same birthday as Kevin Durant, to the very day.
Wow. Is that right? Who do you think's done more with their life?
I think that every time my birthday rolls around, I measure myself against Kevin Durant. And every time, he's about 5 inches taller than me. Hey, how are you? I'm Guy Montgomery, available to open for you, Aziz Ansari, listening to this podcast.
It is so annoying that it's only 5 inches. He's a 5'7 man. I'm the same height as Pitbull. I don't know if you knew that.
Is that right, Mr. Worldwide?
He's covering
more ground
episode.
than Kevin Durant. I mean, Mr. Worldwide, you know.
Oh, now it's a Pitbull versus Durant.
Yeah.
The classic argument. Women all over the world.
They're always going after the same gals these days.
Durant, man, I should have known. Look. Tommy's a handsome man. That's the point of this podcast. Height doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter. It's the thing you do with it.
It's all lives that matter. Specifically blue. But
oh, no. Oh, boy.
I love this movie, The Mule. Can we? Oh, man. Luke was talking about Luke saw The Mule and the Clint Eastwood movie. And apparently the way he gets into driving for the cartel is someone approaches him at his daughter's wedding and says, "Heard you like to drive."
This is what Connor has been hung up on this too.
Heard you and, like to
and
drive.
And also, it's the I've heard a major plot point is that he's never gotten a ticket. And that's like how he gets into the cartel also. He's this old man who needs money.
Yeah.
Never gotten a ticket.
What's all this black tie heroin doing in the trunk of your car? What, me, officer? Why, I've never had a speeding ticket in my life.
Well, that's a good point. Move along.
Move along. A great All-American right. Reject song.
Move along.
Everything. See, I can fuck with those.
All-American Rejects is great.
Let's play it. Let's do the last 10 minutes about All-American Rejects.
I got obsessed with Swing, Swing, Swing when it
that's
came out.
Me too!
I thought the lead singer was also a real hunk.
I believe Tyson
He's
Ritter
a
is his
super
name?
Hunk. I think we're probably I think we're on the same age, and I think that Swing, Swing, right up, you know.
Yeah.
That'll strike a chord with the boy around the
absolutely.
Age.
But anyway, I mean, there's other shameful stuff from around that era. I remember liking Teddy Geiger's For You I Will.
I don't know.
It's a stinker.
Let's play it.
Let's hear that. Say that again.
Teddy Geiger.
For You I Will. Geiger, G-E-I-G-E-R.
Like a Geiger counter.
Almost exactly.
I'd say exactly.
Oh my gosh.
And by the way, listener, I truly apologize for the break from the feelers.
We'll be back next week.
yeah.
With the 6-hour special. I think Christian Cavallari starred in this video as his love interest.
Is that right? Dude, I met Christian Cavallari because she was on You Up, and she's married to Jay Cutler.
I know. I've not watched it, but I watched recaps of their reality
show. It's hysterical.
It looks
just
so
him
funny.
Specifically in it is so funny.
She said on our show that they had a brief hiatus in their relationship because they had some issues. And I said, oh, because he threw too many interceptions. It turns out he listened to our show.
Did he like that?
I don't know.
I feel like all this.
She snapped back, "He's a gunslinger."
That is the best
funny.
Part of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
All the same things that made him a terrible quarterback are the same things that make him fantastic reality television fodder.
Yes.
Doesn't
yes.
care about any general apathy. From all of the clutter in my head. The fact that he can't stay healthy during an NFC championship game. Everything.
I don't know if I know this song. No more camouflage, I wanna be exposed and not be afraid to fall.
This guy is so hot. He can honestly do whatever the hell he wants.
That's
a fucking
all these smoke fucking
show.
Guys are, man. You know those twins? Like, I think there's
the Winklevi.
And twins.
You know, Army Hammer and the digitally rendered version of Army Hammer? These motherfuckers.
I want to look them up. I think it was Evan and Jaren. It's a song where they're, like, trying to muster up the confidence to talk to some girl. Yes, it is Evan and Jaren. Crazy for this girl. These are two of the hottest men alive.
They already sound morose about it.
She rolls the window down and she talks over.
You know every word.
I typed in Evan and Evan.
These guys are really channeling Death Cab for cutie.
Yes, but this is pre-Death Cab.
What? How old is this?
This is from
the chorus.
2000.
The chorus is more traditional, but that verse before him was very.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Are these twins in love with the same girl?
That's right.
That's gonna end poorly.
Look at these guys.
Yeah, I bet life's really tough for these lads.
They're tall, too. You can't really tell from this picture.
It's written in their eyes.
Death Cab did have 290.
Should we rip Swing Swing?
Yeah. Let's listen to Swing Swing and then wrap this thing up.
Tyson Ritter, also insanely handsome. On that reason.
Oh, of course.
Can I have a look at him?
Piercing blue eyes, yeah.
Yeah, let's all look at him.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what he looks like, the guy from Roswell.
What's Roswell? The aliens?
Yeah.
This is
such a good song. Actually, do you know what I'm thinking of? Is it Cillian Murphy? Is it his
name? Cillian Murphy. He looks exactly like Cillian Murphy from Red Eye and from Batman
Begins.
You
would, All-American Reggie.
Oh, totally. It's episode. Weird we haven't. Yeah, he is a very handsome man. This song rules.
What? It's tough to argue with perfection.
Oh, hell yeah. God, he's so handsome.
Swiftly come and go, dreaming of her. She's seeing other guys, emotions astir. The sun is gone, the nights are long, and I am left.
It's a great melody.
Oh, I love his voice, dude.
Everyone does at some point. That's a really comedy one.
I think part, like an iconic part of this video, they were singing in an empty swimming pool.
Oh yeah.
And there was like they were doing a gig like in the theater of the round in an empty swimming pool.
Very cool.
It's so good. Man, I just want to listen to this song now.
And there and last time I checked, there ain't no laws against that. Mayor Giuliani.
Yeah. Boo Giuliani.
Wait, I thought
Let's
you liked
get him
it.
Out of there. No, I've turned on him hard. Man, what a great song. That is such a good song. Fuck. All right, let's go into the fucking Feelers.
Do we have another one?
I think we have one more song from the Feelers. Because we listened to Fishing for Lisa.
Oh, Astronaut.
We listened to a song called Larger Than Life last week, which was probably the worst of the offerings.
Mm-hmm.
I still gave it a point, but, you know, begrudgingly. Yeah, I mean, it didn't read on my face or the tone of voice I used when, you know, giving it the point, but I did not sleep well that night.
That can't be related to the podcast.
You want to switch it up? Oh, wait, no, that wasn't...
We haven't heard Astronaut yet.
We haven't heard Astronaut, okay.
Which is about the first man.
I feel like we did hear this tonight.
Is this Astronaut?
Yeah,
this is Astronaut. This is the song that was a ripoff, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it just started playing while we were already talking.
Yes, that's great. I feel it closing out. The tunnel's getting smaller and I'm blacking out. I'm spinning a capture world high. Space.
It's this guy's been a UCB, you know. He's really labeled the place and thing. Hey, I'm an astronaut in space.
But no one's good at writing
and
space.
What are you
lyrics.
Doing in space?
Even the most famous space lyrics are bad. Rocket Man, terrible lyrics.
Bowie's in Space by Flight of the Conchords.
He did talk about Flight of the Conchords. My mom will be happy.
Surely your mother hasn't battled her way through an entire second episode about the Feelers.
No, she would. Yeah. She likes us.
Hello, lady.
Equally.
Hello, Lady Tommy.
Her name is Susie.
She's Susie McNamara. She's a wonderful woman.
In New Zealand, the mom is just named Lady, and then the son's name.
Yeah, it's a very confusing system.
Tommy.
No, but
lady
I'm in
guy.
America. I'll play by your rules. Hey, Susie McNamara. It's nice to meet you. If we ever see each other on the street, can you please come and say hi? I don't know what you look like, and but if you follow your son on social media, you might know what I look like. Does a photo go up with these?
We're going to put them both up at the same time. We're going to do a before and after to see what this week has done to us.
Yeah. It's been a rough week.
I hope I look better.
Yeah, you do. You got that hot new haircut.
Got a haircut. I'm not drunk.
Yeah. I look much worse.
Well, you lost an ear.
Yeah, it's true.
We should have talked about that.
Well, I did one of those Pablo moves where...
You mean Vincent Van Gogh?
No. Actually, how dare you mansplain to me what I meant?
So elaborate. What did Pablo mean?
Pablo Francisco had a mental breakdown on stage.
The comedian.
And fell off there. I did one of those and cut my ear off to send to a lover.
Wait. Now it's both.
Well, you know, apples and oranges, baby.
That's a good name for a band.
Apples and oranges, baby.
Not bad at all. Guys, let's get out of here.
Are we hooking up?
No, yeah, let's go to a bar together. And let's go to a second location. This has been a fun time.
Guy.
Rejoining the Feelers. We're over an hour at this point. We've done our job.
That's crazy.
That is incredible.
Yeah. We took six songs from a band that no one likes or cares about.
Yeah.
And
whether people are happy about it,
we'll never know.
Yeah. No, don't tell us.
Do tell us. Tell me. @guy_Martin. Let me know what you think. If you come at me, I will fucking destroy you.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had this idea.
And also tweet it. Wait, what's that other guy's name?
Do not tweet at G-Mongo. It will drive me mad if you tweet at G-Mongo.
All right, so this will come out allegedly a week from today.
Yes. Yeah.
Today allegedly. For the listener. Well, a week
no
from
one can
now.
Prove when this show's going to come out.
This will come out a week from when you finish listening
we'll
to
tell
it.
You, we're recording on a Wednesday, which we never do. This might be our first ever Wednesday record.
This is crazy. Yeah. We're so far ahead.
That's why the rat was confused.
Yeah. The rat was like, usually I come out when they record, but that's usually Fridays. Or no. Tuesday mornings or whatever. I'm going to give this playlist a 6.
Yeah, fuck it. 6.
I'm listening to it enough. I have nostalgic, I feel for it and I love it. Guy, what do you give the playlist?
You guys have made me so happy. I'm going to give it a 6, which would make this probably the first perfect 18 in the history of Stand By Your Band.
Someday my girlfriend will be a perfect 18 when she gets to that age. I made the joke for you. You weren't even thinking of it. Maybe I have the problem.
I wasn't going to. You're just admitting something, finally.
Well, folks, what do you got to plug? I'm asking the listeners this time.
Yeah, tweet it. You know what? A lot of these podcasts, they force their plugs down your throat. This is the one podcast that takes your plugs. You, the people. What do you got going on? We'll talk about it next episode.
Merry New Year.
We'll be at Union Hall January 13th for Stand By Your Band Live.
We just added Anthony DeVito.
We have Melissa Villasenor. Have you ever heard of the show Saturday Night Live? Because she's on it.
Ooh. don't. Boom, boom, boom.
Ooh, I like that sexy version of it.
Martin Urbano, Shalayo Sharp, Kalen Plufo, all past
Glazer,
guests.
Yeah, not a past guest, but, you know, she'll be out there. Guest judging.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. That's January 13th. Get tickets now because they're $7 right now at Union Hall. They will rise, as will we.
Wow.
Like butterflies in the sky.
And if you can't make it along to Union Hall on January 13th and you find yourself in Christchurch, New Zealand, be sure to come along to my new solo show. I was part of the problem before we were talking about it. It's at 7:30 p.m. At the Christchurch Arts Centre, and tickets are available online.
Was that English?
But also, G Mont Go will be performing across
G Mont Go. I tell you, his show is a lousy knockoff of the original article, and I'm tired of you boys picking up his slack.
Well, his is called I Was Part of the Problem Before the Whole Time.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when this will be, but I will be at Go Bananas in Cincinnati December 27th through the new year. And then also at in Bloomington, Indiana at the Comedy Attic from January 17th to the 19th. And I'd love if you came out to those. Guys, as always, first of all, thanks so much to Guy McGovern for coming out.
Thanks
for having me. The quickest repeat guest of all time. We've had
and,
a couple
of who knows? Maybe we'll go for the three-peat.
That would be pretty cool. We do have a fun crossover episode with Defend Your Movie coming out.
Oh,
we
yeah, that's coming
that.
Out as well. That's going to be super
and
fun.
Also,
Sean Donnelly and Andy Fiore.
We're going to put the full professionally mixed audio from my Christmas show on the Patreon.
Yas, queen. So, all right. Thanks a lot for listening. Keep it crispy. Bye.